Okay, we have Amadea from S.
Thank you. Okay, I'll try not to hit the microphone while I'm doing this demo, so. Can everyone hear me okay in the back? So today I'm going to be talking mostly about creating a tax map in ArcGIS, and then I'm also going to show some tools within the parcel fabric as well. So when we're talking about creating a tax map, we actually have a template that's available online, and it uses Michigan data. So there's been some work to try to make that template more pertinent to California. And so we've done that with a lot of work with Emilio's data in LA County. And I'm gonna walk through kind of the process, show you where the template is available to download, as well as walk through how to create an index layer and configure that index and the maps accordingly so that you can create these pages. Now, how many of you have used data-driven pages before? Two people? So you'll be introduced to data-driven pages, which will give you the ability to create these map sheets. And then you can publish it out as a hard copy map book or as PDF, if you like, and share it online, if you like. So I'm just gonna, rather than going through and boring you guys with slides, I'm just gonna walk through how to do it, okay? So here, let's go ahead, and we're gonna go into ArcMap, and here you can see LA County parcels. And what we're gonna do is basically create an index. So how do we go about doing that? First, we need to really think about how do we identify the parcels, okay? And so let's just zoom in a little bit here. I'm gonna go down to the parcel level. Okay, and what I want to do is, here, my toolbars have kind of shifted around a little bit because of the resolution, so bear with me so I can find everything a little bit here. There's my identify tool. Okay, so I want to identify an individual parcel. We're going to come over here, and you're going to see in the parcel, when we're looking at the parcels, we've got several pieces of information. So at the parcel fabric level, see if we go ahead and let's just look at the topmost layer. And I click on an individual parcel, you can see that the highlighted area is actually our subdivision. Okay? So this whole section was highlighted when I clicked on an individual parcel. And you can see that it was subdivided. I've got the book and sheet that's available to me. But if I want to look at the individual parcel itself, click on a parcel, I can highlight the parcel, and you can see that same information is within the APN number. So I've got the book, which is the first four numbers, and then the next three numbers are the page, and then the final three numbers for LA County, that's the parcel number. Okay. So it's each county, I've noticed each county is slightly different in how they store their APNs, so I just want to point that out so that when we're creating this index, it makes a little bit more sense as to what I'm doing and why I'm doing what I'm doing. So what we're going to do is we want to create an index. So I'm going to actually export the text parcels and just kind of do index prep because I want to create some fields that will help with these map pages. So here I'm going to create just a file called index prep, and it's just a copy of the tax parcels. Save that. And so as I'm putting this out, you'll see that I'm going to use these tax parcels. I'm actually going to run a dissolve on these tax parcels and use that as my index to create my various books and pages. So here, I'm going to just take a look quickly. So I've got the same parcel information. Now what I want to do is I want to update the attribute field. So in the attribute table, here, guys see that okay? I'm gonna have to shrink that a little bit so that I can. Okay, so here we'll just come in and I'm gonna add in a field. Add field, call this dissolve. I'm gonna make it text. And keep it as 50. Okay, so that's just adding it to the end here. Now what I wanna do is I'm gonna run a field calculator and define how my dissolve is going to be run. So here, what I wanna do is I wanna pull from that APN number the first 7 digits, okay? So how I do that is I type in left, and then take the name, which was the parcel name, my password, oh, there it is, and the first 7 digits from the left-hand side, okay? Click okay. And so it's pulling the first 7 digits from that name into my dissolve field. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to run a geoprocessing tool called dissolve. And here, bring in that index prep layer. Sorry, there's a slight delay once I connect it to the projector, so just bear with me here. Okay. And then run on the dissolve field. All these windows are much bigger now. So. Okay, click okay. And I'm running the dissolve tool. So essentially what this is doing is it's creating the books, okay? And giving me a way to identify each of the different areas. So what I'm doing is I'm subdividing based on, you know, the book and page, subdividing the areas, and you can see all those parcels, see how they're kind of grouped together. So each page, map page, is just gonna be those sets of parcels, okay? So, go ahead and I'm actually going to take this and add in, open the attribute table. We're going to add in some fields here where you can see, let's move this out of the way a little bit. Okay, so here I'm going to add in a field where I create the book. Go ahead and make this text four. So that's the first 4 digits. And then we're going to add in another field for the page, text, and have that only as 3 digits. Add another field. Let's make this one name. Keep it as 50, add in another field. And this is the reason I'm gonna add in a rotation field. And the reason I'm doing this is because, like many counties, LA has several that, you know, we might want to rotate 90 degrees to make them fit on a map page correctly. Okay, so I'm gonna add in a rotation field. Let's keep this as double, so, okay. And then finally, I'm gonna add in one more field for scale, just in case we need to apply a scale. So here I have my index prep layer in this dissolve field. I'm gonna have, essentially, all of these are going to create my map pages. So the data-driven pages is gonna read each of those fields and populate each page with this content. So here I'm gonna go ahead and calculate individual fields. Now once you do this, I know it seems kind of painful in the beginning, but once you do it, you're done, right? It works for your entire county, so you don't have to keep adding this this content, you can use this same map index throughout. Okay, so I'm going to, let's see here.
It sure would be nice to have a valid date on this field calculator form. I spent an hour and a half trying to get one relatively simple search criteria to work in both VB and PyBOM. I finally got it to work, but it was just trial and error, mostly error.
Yeah, if you do the trial and error, you probably want to make sure you're editing too, because then you can just.
Yeah,
so your other one.
I'm doing actual, I'm running this outside of an editing environment because it's quicker.
Yeah.
But if you run inside of an editing environment, you actually do have a validate your code option. So you can validate
Where does it come up?
So we can talk about that at lunchtime. Okay, because I have several things that I need to go through here. Okay, so here we want to take for book. Similar to what we were doing before, we want to pull from the dissolve field. So I'm going to say dissolve. Let's just so I make sure that I get all the right content here. So dissolve first four digits on the left-hand side for the book page, or the book number, I should say. And then we go onto the page, populate that. This time we're coming from the right-hand side. Do three on the right-hand side. And then here, with name, the reason I have this is I want to have some text on the map pages themselves. So here, I'm going to type in so that you have the book and page number. So what we're going to do is put in quotes, book, a space, end the quotes, then I'm going to add in book, and then we'll have, actually let's put an and in between there. Then we'll add in page. So put in a space, page, colon, another space, and then we'll add in the actual page number. So when I run that, you'll see that it populates book with the first four digits, and then the page, the next three digits, okay? Now right now, we're just going to set the rotation as zero. So here, we'll do that for now, and I'll show you later how we can change it after the fact, okay? Now here, I'm going to close this out. And what I want to do is I want to take this here. And let's just change this symbology a little bit so it's a little clearer. Let's go ahead and I'm going to open up a map book here. So I'm going to go into so here I'm opening up the actual map book so you can see the layout. And I'm going to go ahead and bring in that data that I just created, that dissolve field. Where did I put it? Okay. So when I get dissolved, let's just see where I put it. It should be under parcel publishing. Okay. I'm just looking for that field I just created, which is all, so let's go back to that one, see where it is. I moved totally in a different spot. Okay. Sorry, guys. Okay. Okay, so here, when I go up, let's go ahead and see if I can get to that connection. What I get for clicking OK and not telling it exactly where I wanted it to go. Okay. So I'm just going to export it and tell it exactly where I want it to go. So here we'll just call it map index. Save. Okay. And then let's go into that map book. That was operator error on my part. I hit OK without telling it where to go. And
it always is.
I guess we're all humans. okay, and now, so I have my map page. So what I want to do now is I go into that data. We look into the LA County, and I'm in the parcel of publishing. And I've got that map index I just created. I can pull that in. Where's it going? I just had it, right?
Did you just move it into another feature data set by accident?
I don't know, it's sticky, the screen, so I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. Did you see which one I went into?
Yeah. Whichever one I went into, went pretty quick.
I know, it should have just dragged into the... third time's our charm, hopefully. Okay, you're gonna export the data.
I thought there was a cool new search feature that you could just search for any data.
Yeah, but it's kind of hidden in this, so. I don't
want to
add
it. I see, it doesn't work all the time. Silly me.
Okay, we gotta figure out. Okay, so we'll use the search then.
Yikes.
Okay, we're going to. My search is kind of hidden on this. I can't. You might be able to see it there, but I can't see it on here, so.
Yeah.
We'll just give it a different name. Okay. Now this time, sticky keys aside, let's make sure that it just drags into the map. So long story short, you know, I know this took a few more steps than it should have. Basically, what we're doing is we're taking all of the map sheets we dissolved so that we can have different pages, right? We took the tax parcels, dissolved, created different pages, and then we're using this as our index. So this is map index 3. I am dragging it. Okay. Okay. Now let's just provide it some symbology here. Get a 6 width. Just make it a little bit thicker on the actual printout. Now let's zoom in a little bit. Do a refresh. And you can see as this is populating, these fields are empty and they're actually going to be driven by what's called data-driven pages. So the data-driven pages is this toolbar here. And what you want to do is you want to enable it. So from the data-driven pages toolbar, you just simply enable data-driven pages. We're going to use the map index layer. We'll do field name. It's going to be book. We're going to sort based on various books. We're going to take page number from page. And this is why naming those fields really helps you out when you're trying to use the data-driven pages, because then you don't have to think about what you're using it for. So it's probably long run. It was good I created this map index instead of, what was it, index prep dissolve, right? That's what it accidentally saved as. And then rotation, I'm going to use that rotation. I also want to have the extent. I'm going to do 102%. Okay. And that's the recommended for this particular template that we're using, for the best fit when we go to print it, so that it still stays at scale. So right now it's creating data-driven pages, and you notice that it automatically populated the name of the page, or the book, and the page and sheet number, and we've got individual annotation that's being populated automatically, so today's date. This is my login on the computer. This is the name of the document that I use to create these data pages. So all of this, every time I run it, is going to be repopulated, okay? So let's see here. Let me turn this off and see if we can fit it so that you can see a little bit better. Let's do zoom the whole page. Okay. So what I want to show you is as we go through, let's go to some particular pages, you're going to see the content. Okay, so let's go into our data frame properties here. What I want to do is I want to go ahead and clip to the data-driven pages, because right now I'm seeing content that's kind of outside. So I want to clip to the extent. I want to exclude the map index so that the map index is not showing up in my printout. See if I can get. I can't shrink this window.
Okay, let's see if I can do it.
There,
paper.
Okay. So here we're going to go in and you can see as I'm looking at 001, and then I go back and you see some of this content. The different pages. And you can see some of them look fine at this orientation. Some of them look a little bit squished. Okay? So here, like this one would probably look better if it was oriented landscape, right? So what do? We go in, and this is where we actually want to start editing. We're going to open the map index, open the attribute table. And here we can edit that rotation field. Okay? So let's see if I can bump this up here a little bit. So in that rotation field, scroll down. Let's do 8530. Let's see. So 8530027, we're going to change that to 90 degrees. We'll do the same for 8530028. The same here.
I like ours way better.
And then here we're going to go back to 8530. You can see as we scroll through, you can see now that they're rotated. So they're less squished than before. Sorry about the squishing of the text here. You know, the toolbars are squished based on the resolution with the projector. So once you have your data-driven pages here, what you can do is you can choose to export them as a PDF. Okay, so here we'll choose PDF, export. If I can get down here. Okay, you guys, I'm sorry, but I might have to switch the screen resolution really quick just to make this less painful for everybody. I wanted you guys to be able to read it, but this is, we'll see if it'll let me go up a little bit. And then maybe I can actually access these. Okay. You guys see that okay? Okay. So here we're going to export to PDF. Pages, just a selection. Let's just pick a couple for shortening the time on this. And let's make sure I put it somewhere that I can find it again. Okay, so I know that seemed more painful than it really should have been, sorry. But, you know, basically through the process, you're just adding in individual fields, and the data-driven pages is reading those fields, right? So does anyone have any questions about that process?
So your layout was already set up to get the name and page?
Yeah, that comes from the template. So here, while this is processing, so I'll just take you online. We have the local government. How many of you use our resources? Here you have access to specific content for land records. So here we've got local government information model as well as tax parcel editing, and then there's the tax parcel map book. So when you go into the tax parcel map book, this is where you will see a way to download that content. So what it comes with is a template as well as a sample database that's actually Michigan data. And then there is also a video that's available to show you how to, you know, go through and tips on creating these fields for the map pages and your parcel numbers and everything like that so that they're automatically populated because they're already kind of pre-configured. You can completely customize that template so you're not fixed in what that template looks like, but it gives you a starting point. So what we did for the purposes of California is modified it for 215 standards, okay? And so that's where it's slightly different than what's on the Michigan.
And where is that California standard?
Right now it's not online. I'm trying to get the parcel editing team to share it because we in California need that, but it hasn't been shared yet. But I'm trying to get on that as well. Honestly, if you want it, okay, so now what I want to do is I want to go in and let's just see if this finished grading. Let's just go on. I set down my desktop real quick. Okay, so here's the PDF that I just created. So you can see here I've got the map sheets as well as information associated with those map sheets. Individual layers, so I can choose to turn on and off specific layers. I can choose to turn on and off dimensions, labeling. So here, say I wanted to turn off just the dimensions, I could do that. So you have layer flexibility even in the PDF format. Sorry?
I was gonna say, you can choose to turn that off, of course, if you don't want your maps to be.
Yes. So when you export it, you have the option of having it so that it's configured this way or have it completely locked down so that no one can alter the way they view it. Yeah.
So I'm guessing then that these are all based on some weird arbitrary scale due to that 102%?
No, it's 100%. The 2% is basing on the map surrounds, right? There was some testing to be done on what that 102%. If you want true to scale though, then you know I would choose to not have it as a percentage. I would have it just true to scale.
So you could do it where the scale of each map is based on the value in the scale field?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So you could use the scale field. I just didn't do that for the purposes of time here, but you could use the scale field to create
all right.
that. Did everyone hear that? Now, just quickly, I want to talk a little bit about what was done last year. So last year, I don't know if you guys were all down south, Amir had done a raffle, and Sacramento County won that raffle. And so what happened was Sacramento County provided data to Esri a couple days ago. We tried to get it a little bit earlier, and we kind of messed up a little bit in receiving the files, you know. So it was actually a couple days ago, we had a meeting and got all the data from Sacramento County. And my colleagues, Amir and Frank, went through the process of migrating that data. Now, their data is a combination of CAD and GIS files. So basically, when you're thinking about a data migration workflow, I just want to quickly point out, most of the work is really in these two first steps, of figuring out where your source data is coming from, which is really more accurate. Sometimes it's a combination of the two. You know, it depends on the, you know, I've visited some counties, and sometimes, you know, they're like, the CAD data is way more accurate. Then when we go in and measure it, it was, you know, only in certain areas. So you might do an iterative process where you bring in only the CAD data that's for those specific areas. Oftentimes people rubber sheet on both the GIS and the CAD side over time. So it really depends on legacy data and figuring out where your source data is. And then we at Esri can help you with the process and the steps to make that data come over as seamless as possible. So one of the ways that we do that is really in preparing the geometry. So of course, if it's coming from CAD, there's a few more steps involved than if it was, say, coming from an ArcInfo coverage. We also prepare the attributes. And the way we prepare the attributes is we prefer, if you want to take advantage of the local government information model, because we have a lot of tools available for parcel editing that utilize the local government information model, if you want to take advantage of that, then you want to migrate your attributes into fields that the local government information model will recognize. Okay? So that this is where it takes most of the work. Now, you create a topology. When you go into the fabric, there's actually 6 rules that are required. And oftentimes what happens is you go to load it into the fabric, and then you notice, well, you run the topology, you notice there's errors, you kind of end up circling back through this process over and over and over again. Okay? Now, so what I recommend is, you know, start with the chunk of parcels, whether it be in CAD or GIS, as something to base. And then iteratively, as the assessors are updating files, you know, specific map sheets, you can constantly update. Because otherwise, it might end up years and years down the road, just lots and lots of discussion, and you'll never end up with a physical fabric. It doesn't take very long to actually import it into the fabric. It's usually that prep work of figuring out where your data is coming from and how you want to migrate it. And then, of course, once you have a fabric, you can import control at any time as well. So here, I just want to quickly show you, we're going to go into, show you the Sacramento County data. So here, okay, so Sacramento County gave us not the entire county, but just the neighborhood of Elk Grove. And let's kind of just zoom in a little bit more closely. Okay, and one of the things you can take advantage of context-wise, when we were bringing in this data came from a combination of files, like I said. So what we received was an Elk Grove, the tax parcels in a DWG file, as well as we received some shape files, especially the subdivisions. So what we did is we can compare the files and decide which content was best to bring in to populate the fabric. What was really useful is because the CAD drawing was in 0-0 space, I mean, it was to scale, but it was in 0-0 space, the GIS kind of helped us give it context. But if you don't have that, you can also use imagery to provide context. So say you could bring in a base map to kind of help bring it in. Now, I have seen some CAD data, which is 0-0, and it's at you know, it's not to scale, so that's going to require some scaling it up and down, right? But you also have the georeferencing toolbar as well as some spatial adjustment tools. Now, I will caution you, when you're dealing with CAD data and you're bringing it in, you want to maintain the aspect ratio if it's true to scale. So you really only have a two-point transformation that you can do, so you maintain that aspect ratio. We won't let you rubber sheet it, okay? Now that's very important. It might frustrate people because they want to rubber sheet it to make it fit, but then you're losing the integrity of the CAD, okay? So what I recommend doing is, rather than choosing control points, you know, say the entire county, bring in map sheets from various areas and have links inside of each of those areas. You know, smaller the better, you know, in terms of, I know it's a tedious process, but you want to be accurate bringing in your CAD data if it's highly accurate, you don't want to lose that just by forcing it into fit with an image, okay? But I do want to make sure that you guys see that we do have content available online. So here, this is a world topo base map in Sacramento. They've actually submitted data with the community base map program. So their authoritative content is already stored inside of this topographic map, so it's not ESRI data. So they can use this as context as well. In addition to that, sometimes it's easier to look at imagery to really see what's going on, okay? So let's just quickly, I'm gonna show you just a few things that you can do with the parcels. Now here, what we did is, my identify is over here. So here, if I'm identifying a particular parcel, you can see that I've got the tax parcel number, but I also have associated information with that parcel. So since it's part of the fabric, I also have the line work. Now what we did with Sacramento County is we used their line work and generated parcel polygons from that line work, okay? Some counties have parcel polygons and that's it. And then if you try to bring it into the parcel fabric, because the parcel fabric wants to store that line work, we'll generate the line work from those parcel polygons, okay? Now some of you guys have shape files. Just to note, you know, shapefile can't store a true arc, but when you bring it into the fabric, our software is gonna automatically create true arcs where those densified curves exist, okay? So those are just, depends on what formats you're coming in and what steps you need to go through to come into the parcel fabric. But once you're in the fabric, all that COGO information that came from the CAD is stored inside the individual parcel. So I don't just have the parcel polygon. So I can click, I see the parcel itself is highlighted, but I can also see any arcs. I can look at a different parcel here. And you can see here, looking at the lines, I can look at the individual lines as well. So it's storing the history. So every time I change things, it's going to store all of that information in the line work as well, which is much more sophisticated than if you were just storing it as simple feature classes. Now, one of the things I want to point out is in the service, the parcel team is going to be updating with Service Pack 1 for 10.1. So how many of you are at 10.1? Okay, so we're going to come out with Service Pack 1, and the parcel team has been working on common workflows that happen with the parcels and, you know, merges, splits, things like that, and wanted to incorporate that into some user-friendly, because a lot of times people forgot, okay, now how do I do that? Where's that button that I need to go to make this happen? How do I do that merge? How do I do that split? So what we've done is that Service Pack 1, you actually have, under Parcel Editor Toolbar, you have something called the Parcel Workflows. So with the parcel workflows, here's some common workflows that were told to us by various users. So I'll just show you very quickly with the merge parcels, what I can do, let's just turn off this base map so you can see a little bit more clearly. Okay, so say here, I want to zoom in a little bit closer. Okay, say I want to merge these two parcels, okay? So what I do is I just walk through and begin the workflow. Now there's documentation here. If I don't know exactly what the step is, it'll tell me exactly what to do and kind of walk me through the steps. Now I don't have a specific work area. I just want to pick the parcels manually. So I can skip this step and select from parent parcels. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead, select two parcels, and then proceed on to the next step. Now here, automatically, I didn't have to go in and remember to pull up the plan properties dialog, right? It automatically is walking me through these steps. Very similar to Workflow Manager. Have any of you used Workflow Manager at all? No? Okay, so here we're going to choose, I can create a new parcel name or I can choose to copy the values from an existing parcel. Click okay. Okay, and here it's giving me the ability, because oftentimes people will create the parcel, but then they forget to update the attributes, right? So it's prompting me to update the attributes. So I can give it a floor number. I can also choose today's date as the legal start date if I wanted to. These highlighted fields are the required fields, okay? Anything else is optional. And you can configure that in your own site, what you want to be required. Now this is going to annotate, so I've got an annotation class within this parcel fabric that's set at a scale of 1 to 1200. So I'm going to go ahead and use that. And here you can see, let me close this down, you can see that it's automatically annotated with dimensions. Now, these dimensions, like I said, are an annotation class, so I can choose to select those dimensions themselves and update their placement, move them if I need to. Especially if I was doing this one, have a little arc, I might want to adjust it slightly, okay? So this gives me the option to rotate it, do any changes that I want to do at this time. I can actually change the text as well if I wanted to have. This is deriving it from the line work. Sometimes you want to maintain your annotation so that it's just the strict quogo values, but not the line work. If you have two adjacent surveys, sometimes the two adjacent surveys don't quite match depending on the surveyor that was doing the adjacent parcels, right? And so you force them to match the purposes of the map, but you want to maintain the quogo values as well. So the fabric allows you to do that.
And it keeps?
It stores all of that information, so you're not losing any of that information. Now you notice when I did this merge, it automatically changed this so that it's a dashed line. It's marking it automatically as historic. So I did not lose that line. I did not delete it. It's just marked it as historic. And I can choose when I go to create my map sheets to either show historic or not. Okay. And then finish. And there I've got the merged parcel. Now, I have also wanted to show you, let's go in here. Yeah.
Is historic the only category you can choose for that, or can you make other categories?
You can make other categories if you want, but the historic is automatically generated. So when you actually, you can now, with our latest version, you can enable the local government information model automatically, and it's going to create those fields for you. It used to be that you had to go through and manually create a historic field and things like that. It'll automatically generate those. If you want anything custom, you would just add in a field of your own. And then you can customize these. It does take a little bit of coding to customize these workflows.
Yeah, so like for instance, if that were line in the middle, was actually a legal lot line, but we're just combining the two for tax purposes. It's not really a historic line, it's a real lot line. So we would want it to remain as such.
As such, yeah. And then you just have it as a lot line.
Okay.
Yeah. Now here what I'm doing is I'm pulling up the same map book template, and I just want to show you that it easily feeds in the Sacramento data. And then we can open it up for questions as well. But I just wanted to show you very quickly. I received this data last night at 6 o'clock, you know, from my colleagues. So this is just quickly bringing it into the map sheet environment. So here, if I zoom in, you can kind of see it's populating. Content that's specific to Sacramento County. And then I just edited, you know, so that, you know, it says Office of the Assessor, County of Sacramento instead of Los Angeles and so on. So I just edited the map surrounds, but you have complete control. This is all graphics, you know, in the template when you download it. You have complete control over how it looks. But I just wanted to show you how easy it is for you to not only bring in the data. I mean, this was 2 days ago we were able to bring in the data, but I did want to mention, you know, I don't want you guys to think, oh, it's just an easy red button. There are a lot of steps in the process and a lot of steps that you have to think about in the process as well to make sure that you really maintain that accuracy when you come into the fabric.
Does the PowerPoint template have an adjacent page?
Yeah, so here you've got page, and you can see as it goes in, let's do. You can set it up. I'm not sure, I have to compare, I know the Michigan one does. I'm not sure with the California one if we've got that automatically set, but I'm pretty sure we do. But yeah, you see the page numbers here. But you can do, okay, thank you. If I can pull it down.
If all your pages are scaled, can you take your basic dissolve and buffer it based on the scale so that you have a clean representation around the edges to dissolve to versus, you know, what you first started with?
Yeah, I mean, it's really your choice. You know, it's a common thing to do it, you know, just by subdivisions, but you could do it. You can categorize it however you want. We just created fields and used the subdivisions for that dissolve, but you can dissolve on whatever you wanted to. Now, your index, you know, it's really whatever, I mean, it's customized to whatever you want. It doesn't come with the template. There's no index that, I mean, I think there is in the Michigan database, but it's specific to Michigan index if you maybe want to create that. And that's why I walked through all the tedious steps of creating each of those fields. So, with LA, it's slightly different than with Sac County. I mean, they even their APN numbers are different in what they're storing, how they're storing that information. Okay, so each county is going to be different in terms of what is important for them to display on each of the individual maps. The thing that's key is that with the California standard with 215, you know, we've got this certain line weights. We've got, you know, the circles. Other counties, you know, in other states don't have that. So you'll find that when you bring in down the Michigan template that it does differ quite a bit from what you're used to in California. Okay. Yeah.
How might other data layers behave within this? Like, I see some annotations, but I don't know what's generating them. Our maps, for instance, we show center lines, street center lines. And we may have some, we kind of split things up between auto labeling and mm-hmm. regular annotation too.
Right.
When this thing makes its little internal adjustments, does that also affect the annotations? Can you even put street center lines in there?
Yeah, so you can bring in whatever layers you want here. I could add in a base map if I want. What dictates how it looks is here under the data frame properties. We've got clip options, right? And so you would clip to the data page extent, or you could clip to a shape if you wanted to. So sometimes if you're bringing in extraneous layers, it kind of looks weird if you just clip to the outer boundary of data-driven page. But you might find that, you know, especially on the coastal side of things, that you want to clip a little bit differently, so you can clip to a shape as well. But any layers that you have in your table of contents are going to show up in that map. All it is a map.
I understand
layer.
That, mm-hmm. but our parcels need our parcels are built off of street center lines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if the parcel lines get adjusted, mm-hmm. are the street center lines going to get adjusted right along with that?
Yeah, so when you've got the parcel fabric, you've got two different options. You can have it so that your parcels are part of the fabric and your street center lines are part of the fabric, or you can have it, which is more the suggested way, is have your parcels as part of the parcel fabric, and then you have a topological relationship. It's called a related feature class. And it's a little bit more sophisticated than the traditional relationship class. But anytime you do any edits to the parcels or the street center lines, it's going to prompt you to update those whatever is related to those feature classes.
Hmm.
You know, and you can have it so it's automatic, or you can do it iteratively, you know, through topological relationships. So
if you were to say add the street center lines into the fabric, how many different things can you pile in there?
there's no limit. I mean, it's like any, the fabric itself is just like any other geodatabase. There's not really a size limitation. It's just based on how you're storing it. So if you're storing it as a file geodatabase, or if you're storing it on a SQL server using SDE, those are going to be your limitations size-wise. But you can add in whatever content you want. You could have street center lines. You could have, typically it's your right-of-ways that you have. Street center lines are oftentimes just related. And you'll have your parcels. You know, it's...
Okay.
The local government information model gives you a huge amount of options to bring in, but you don't have to bring in all that data if you don't want to. It's really... This is where you want to call Esri if you have questions, and we can just kind of look at what your current workflow is and figure out the best method for you. So if you guys have any further questions, Mike and I are here over at the table. If you wanted me to walk through anything in more detail, apologize for me messing up a little bit at the beginning there, but I hope you guys understood the entire message and how we're trying to help you guys both move into the digital age as well as produce these map sheets. So thank you very much, and hope to see you later on in the next day and a half. Thank you.